CNN breaking news. This is CNN breaking news. CNN breaking news. CNN breaking news. CNN breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking, 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 breaking news.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
The views expressed by on-air volunteer hosts do not reflect the views of Wavefarm or WGXC. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, call 518-622-2598 to either call in live to the studio or record a 3-minute message for broadcast expressing your point of view, or send an email to info@wgxc.org. WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences in both Rhinebeck and Saugerties. This month, playing Tatami, Kill the Jockey, Ada, My Mother the Architect, Oh Hi, and a lineup of special programming from Upstate Films Art House and Revival House series. Information about screenings and special guests at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Judy Pfaff of Tivoli, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Uncontaminated Sound. It's that time of the month again. Happy to be back on air. A special guest today, Dustin Hayes, who made for me that jingle a few years back. So I would like to welcome the prolific Dustin Hayes. Some of you may know him as Walt ETC, but wrapping back to his main name, Walter Mitty in his makeshift orchestra. Dustin, welcome back to Uncontaminated Sound. Sorry, definitely overthought that, and welcome.
I've made it confusing for everybody. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's it's been since, let's see, I look back in the archives about 3 years ago when I first spoke to you for Uncontaminated Sound and on the series. And that was about, 2022. So what's been up? What's been new? What's going on, man? There's a lot's been happening in the world, but How you been?
Good, good. Let's see. Since 2022, we've put out Walter Et Cetera put out a record called "When the Band Breaks Up Again," which is more kind of punk, pop punk. And I've since moved houses and been on a few tours, and wrote a new album, and probably a lot of other things in between. But life's been good.
That's amazing. And we should mention for our East Coast listeners, Dustin's you're on the West Coast, correct? San Diego area?
The LA area.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure, but well, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, of course. Where to begin? I guess, yeah, like, so in the last 3 years, how has it been trying to make continue career as a performing artist and recording artist and just an artist in general out there?
It's an adventure for sure. It's kind of my full-time thing, but then I'm constantly doing side gigs and finding odd jobs on the side to make more money. So it's very random, just kind of hustling, trying to make my art and my music and keep the band together and play some shows and go on tour, but then at the same time fill in the blanks with paying rent by trying to find odd jobs and stuff. It feels like sometimes my life is held together by like duct tape and super glue, but in a fun way. Like, I'm still really enjoying it, so it's going well.
Yeah, now that's I know those pangs as well on my end of just juggling multiple projects and also balancing the getting traction on the said projects, but also balancing the need for survival. For our the listeners in New York and in this area, Accra and Hudson and Catskill area, how do you guys meet the your bands? Like, can you just give a brief like bio and get into like how things kicked off for you in your creative career?
Totally, yeah. Well, it was started with some childhood friends of mine. When we were really little, we had like a punk band from like middle school through high school, and it's kind of towards the end of high school I started learning about more like underground music scenes and more DIY music scenes, and that not everything just existed on the radio and in the big venues kind of thing. And so I started, our little punk band was slowing down, and so I wasn't the singer of that band, and I wanted to do my own thing and like try to play some cool basement show or something. So I started this band called Walter Mitty and His Makeshift Orchestra, which was just recorded me and my friends in high school, the same dudes who were in our punk band, but then plus some other friends. And we recorded in the bedroom, and I didn't have a drum set or anything, so we just handed out like tambourines and shakers and slide whistles and kazoos, and it was like this really like goofy thing, but with kind of like serious heartfelt songs. And I guess you'd call it folk punk, although it wasn't super punk, it was pretty poppy. And yeah, that kind of kicked it off, and I just kept that going. I made another little EP afterwards, and I wanted to tour California, so I went on MySpace and booked a random tour through California, and then the next goal was to leave California, and we did that, and the next goal was to tour the US, and eventually, one summer we did that, and then we just kept growing and pushing it and growing and pushing it, and made a few Walter Mitty records, and eventually wanted to change the sound to something more electric and more like a traditional studio album. So I put that under the name Walter Et Cetera and made some albums like that and tours like that for a while, all the while just kind of having the same group of friends coming in and out over the years. And now it's been 17 years.
Wow.
And it's split into two bands, the folk bedroom project called Walter Mitty and His Makeshift Orchestra, and a more electric and eclectic kind of studio project called Walter Et Cetera. And it's like the same band, same group of people, just two different masks that we can wear. And yeah, there's like a huge discography now, and we've played all over the world, and we're still doing it. And I still with those childhood friends, plus some new friends we met along the way.
Wow. Now that's so amazing and also confusing. Not confusing. I understand the need to separate different styles and projects. You know, I'm actually facing that challenge now. We're like, oh, I have this type of breadth of work photographically, then I'm doing this type of work, and I have a radio show, and a kind of podcast, and then et cetera, et cetera. So I'm like, oh, I guess ETC makes sense. But
you literally just said it. Yeah.
From like, I guess. Sorry, I'm like a bit aloof today, but I not really. What I guess stemming from the original band in 2009-ish, like how have you guys evolved, like sonically, but also just as humans yourselves, and definitely how have you adapted to like the ever changing world where we find in post pandemic, and during how did you adapt during peak lockdown and stuff like that too.
Well, there's a ton of ways, you know, like, I guess in short, musically we've changed just in that the songs were, much more simpler back then as far as like music theory goes. And now they can be super simple still, just cowboy chords, but they can also be a lot more interesting and use a lot more different instruments. Like on this new album, I used a lot of thrift store children's toys and tried to arrange the, like the sounds they make into melodies and harmonies and things like that. But at the core, it's really kind of the same, just like really honest, lyrically driven songwriting. And as a band, we've definitely, you know, there's so many different categories of change we could go into, but one of them is like, just regardless of what's going on in the world, I feel like, and this might just be the change from being young to being in your 30s or an adult, but we're very idealistic when we were young about like, this is the way things should be when you're in a band and this, and we're going to do that or whatever. And then things like, you know, everything should be like cheap and accessible for everybody, and everything should be, like pure directly from the artist to the fan, and all those ideals are awesome. But then, you know, as the rubber hits the road, you hit up against the actual constrictions of real life where like, okay, well, if you actually want to get your music out to people, you have to put it on things like Spotify who are going to you have to play by their rules then. And there's really no other way around it if you want people to know about your music. So that idealism definitely kind of curbs over time, and then it morphs into more of just like customizing the way you want your band and your identity to fit into the way the world is. But you can't exactly change the way the world is or the way the music industry works, not as one person in one day at least. So a bit more realism has set in, and I see that with all the other bands, especially like in punk and DIY. I know has started off really young and idealistic, and then you hold on to what ideals that you can and you stick to them, and then you kind of have to adjust some other ones along the way, and not in like some big gesture where you completely change or something, but just over time it's kind of like a cliff eroding from the powerful ocean. It's just like it's going to change shape a little bit.
Has that changed the way you get your stuff out there? Obviously, you have to stream through those channels, but also, where do you find the most engagement, I guess? Is it touring or live performance, or how's that working out, I guess, that model? What's the stronger, I guess, avenue, or do you have to do everything, really, to get everything out in listeners instead of just one thing?
Yeah. That's like a super pertinent point. Like it used to be, the old ethos was very much like get in the van and get out on the road and get in front of people.
Yeah.
And now you'll hear people advise young bands to like, don't go on tour. That's the dumbest thing you could do. You should, you'd need to be making a TikTok every day for the year. And like that will, you know, one TikTok can reach, can pretty easily reach 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And versus like you're, if you go on an entire US tour as a small band, it'll probably add up to less than 1,000 people you even played to in a month, you know?
Yeah.
So I still love the old ethos, but that's because I love to travel and I love to meet people and see the different music scenes and the adventure of it. But as far as advice to a new band or something, realistically, I don't know. I won't necessarily say it, 'cause it's not like you get organic fans just from posting something on the internet. So it's definitely not the same, but yeah, I think that is the question right now, is what gets you the most return or what's the best for growing the band is, I don't really know, but I know what I'd rather do.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a, just a fan of, you know, just live performance, I prefer going to shows and engaging with the musicians in that live performance, and then dive deeper with their stuff online, engage with them online. But you can't beat the physical experience of just being in a venue surrounded by a little group of people, or it could be a large group of people, but then the band on stage, you know, and that, you know, and that dynamic and that energy, the transference of energy, it's just that can't be replicated online. You know, you could do all the, the videos you want, but the transference of energy is not given back, you know.
Right. There's no, totally.
You're producing, outputting, i.e. content, which I generally don't like to say the word content, but I guess now we all have to produce content. But then there's no real back and forth. There's no give and take. But when you're out there on the stage in a venue, there's definitely a feedback loop where you can build off that with the energy from the crowd, if I am correct. Or
Definitely. And I think the idea, like, everyone still thinks of that in the big Live Nation, like going to see Taylor Swift way.
Yeah.
But the idea of going to see like a small, tiny band with only like 15 people around you is like, I feel like becoming old fashioned, you know? It's like, why would I do that when I could just listen to them online or like watch their TikToks, you know? But
that's,
I don't think
true.
It'll go away, but it's definitely fading from popularity a little
bit. I feel like things have to be super local and community oriented too, though. Like, maybe instead of thinking about, like, say a national tour, you just go locally, you know, and just do super hyper local acts and like even pop-ups and yards or whatever, you know, go back to that organicness of engaging with local fans, you know, in the community. Totally. Comparably to a nationwide tour, obviously due to cost and et cetera, but I feel like my observations of everything since 2020 has been that where everything's been hyper local, where communities get together, and that's where the most success has been, is just the community level comparatively to a larger scale national level. Observed that or not, but
I definitely feel that. You see a lot of people doing like the backyard, like throwing a house show, and not in like a young college party or like a really like punk house kind of way, but just normal everyday adult people like throwing a little show in their backyard where someone plays acoustic and like they invite all their friends and the neighbors come out kind of thing. I feel like I see that a lot more since COVID than before, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's still that human connection, like in the community. The intrinsic need to get together over music, you know, that's, it's always been with us as humans, you know, just to get together as a little tribe. So I guess, like, if one goes to like the business model, one would call it the tribal model and community model of just breaking into smaller little communities and tribes and getting your stuff out that way too.
Totally. I like that.
Yeah.
The tribal model.
Well, I may have to trademark that because because I have good ideas, and generally some of them have been taken. So, and now I generally don't speak to them on air. But so, but you know, it's fascinating that you just have to adapt as an artist these days to kind of wear multiple hats. adapt to the current climates, you know, economic climates, et cetera, et cetera. And did I see, and we'll do a plug here. Your new album is called, I have it in front of me. I'm sorry. It's Yikes Almighty. And that was one, and you just released that, correct? Or
Yep, just a couple days ago on Friday.
Cool. And I see here on Wikipedia, so I don't know if it's true, but you had a little treasure hunt. Is that correct? Or
that's on Wikipedia. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. So, it kind of right in line with our conversation, like, I just had this yearning for like IRL in real life adventure and connection and like doing something organic. And I was just so over posting things online and having that be the life of my art. You know, everyone knows how it feels to post on social media and be on social media. So, I don't need to go into that, but yeah. So instead I was like, I want to do something that I feel is cool and special for people. And that I would love to do if I was a fan of my own band. And so I dubbed the album to a single cassette tape and I deleted it all digital copies. I deleted it away and I buried the cassette tape in a cave out in the California desert, kind of near the California Nevada border.
Yeah.
In this cave that I found. And I made a video with some friends of me doing that. And we made the video to be the treasure map to find the album. And so the video shows me going out there and you can kind of like follow the clues in the video to where this cave is. And it's far, it's like hours away from any major city.
Nice.
And yeah, we posted it online and was like, the new Walter Mitty and his makeshift orchestra album will be released once the cassette tape is dug up. And if it's never dug up, it'll just be the lost album forever.
Oh, cool.
Which I personally thought was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we posted it one morning and I went to an odd job where I do dishes for a YouTube food show. And I was just doing dishes and I got a call from a random number and it was the person who had found it that day.
Whoa.
That just within a few hours, they had this story about how they had a terrible day at work the day before. And this morning they woke up and they like saw my treasure map I posted and they called off work and they were just like, I need something, you know, something bigger than myself to do today and to take me out of my funk. And they just immediately, they recognized the area. They'd kind of been out there and they like followed the clues and they immediately drove out there and dug up the album.
That's amazing. Like,
yeah,
that's like really hard dedication to, it makes sense to just want to search for something larger than oneself, particularly when things are rough that day. And that's cool. That's amazing that he found it or they found it. That's amazing. That's super cool. And I wanted to lead into just playing a little track for our listeners here. I have up, my scratched CD of a brain.
Nice.
If you don't mind me playing a little, the track for everybody.
Please do. That's awesome.
Let's see.
It's always so easy to socialize. You're comfortable in my thoughts. People pleasing middle child. No opinions, no needs, no wants. Self-pity will fill the cracks of my perfect life. I can't lose another friend another way. Yeah, late routine, skip the angry fade. His body washed up on the beach really freaked me out. Same place I tried to do the same. Over my scratch CD of a brain. here till I can get alone. Won't check myself into an institution, just into a cheap motel to decompress and pop the wheels of my spinning life. Call everyone I've ever known, tell them I love them twice. The Queen of Swords is at my veins. She sings her song better than any siren ever sang for me. I wanna tell her I'm in love, but it's way too soon. Sleep talk and mix it up their name. Don't ask how I'm doing, you know what I'll say. Save your sympathy for someone willing to elaborate. The closer the sea level, the further guides away. Jumping rainbows over my scratch CD of the good life. You've got an open invite.
That was awesome. That was great.
Even
cooler to play that on air.
What's that?
It's super cool to play a track on air for the artist. It's very cool experience for me, comparatively to just my initial Zoom conversations.
Totally.
It's cool dynamic.
It's an honor for me. It makes me a little bashful, but I like it.
Anything interesting about the track or the creative process behind the new album? Like, was there a different process, or what was your guys' or the band's creative process regarding the output? How long did it take to create a new album, I guess, and new stuff?
Like really start to finish, it was about from beginning to of writing it to it coming out was about 2 years.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was like, I kind of started writing this batch of songs, but then there was a big life event happened where I went on tour for our last album, and I really had a reckoning with myself that, my life was kind of just in a rut and on a, kind of had a bunch of momentum on a trajectory I just like really didn't want it to be going. And so I came home from tour and I really changed up my life. I left my home and my town and basically started anew.
Wow.
And so that's what a lot of Yikes Almighty is kind of about, is kind of starting over from scratch and just like really, really trusting your gut that you're not where you want to be in life and that you are kind of like, yeah, trying to muster up the courage to make a big change to get on track with where you want to be and what you want to be doing. And so that's what I did in that song. My scratch CD of a brain kind of just comes from the depths of it. Hmm. I wrote it while I was just like living out of my truck around LA and California. And, you know, mental health wasn't great. And a friend had just, died.
Hmm.
And, yeah, there was just kind of a lot going on, and it was just like, I just wrote that song. My brain kind of felt like a scratched skipping CD, you know. I was living in a little old Ford Ranger that only had a CD player, so I was around the CDs a lot, and I was remembering like as a kid like the when the CD skips, and I was like, that's exactly how my brain feels. And so that's where that song comes from.
Oh, cool. Thank you for sharing that the background info. That's I know it well, all that myself, loss, transition, being lost and ready for a change. I find myself at that stage now regarding change and reflecting on, I just turned myself a big number in age, and I'm like, where did the time go? Like I spent my 30s chasing, you know, art and making, you know, conversations and also, yeah, documenting and going out there and living. But then I'm at the stage now that the critical, I guess it's maybe it's more just society puts this weight on this number regarding this is where you should be. But then again, that's not my path, I guess. So, but it's been it's been a process for myself. I don't know about yourself, but to really be comfortable with my creative path and this is who I am, and then fill in the blanks with, like, you know, maybe some side gigs and stuff like that. But it's taken me years to figure that out, or just like be comfortable with that concept of like, I can't go back, I can't be anybody else besides this creator of imagery and conversations and connecting with different artists. It's like, I can't go back. This has been spectacular. But also with that journey, when you're chasing that non-linear path, there's going to be, life is going to hit you too, you know? thank you for that. And it was actually that I really resonated with that track. It was just super positive though too. It, like, I, you know, talking about transference of energy, I you know, playing that track, it brought a very positive mood to myself right now, particularly like when last night I didn't get too much sleep. So I'm like, yeah, that was a little bolt of like vitamin C, you know, or injection of positivity. So how did you kind of work around that and like utilize that, utilize the background stuff and your life stuff into making a more positive, just or vibrant track, I guess. I don't know if it's really geared towards just positivity, but you have this upbeat tempo, one would say, and more a positive vibe comparatively to, you know, more of a lower vibe track. So if that makes any sense. I tend to ramble, but
no, yeah, I mean, a lot of the Walter songs, like all the Walter songs, but especially this album, are very much like, the lyrics are very like despair or like existential crisis or like or nostalgia or like the kind of like sadder, darker, melancholic emotions. But then the music is often like very like catchy and melodic, and it's kind of a interesting upper and downer cocktail.
Interesting, yeah.
Which I don't really know how conscious I am that I do that. I think that's just kind of what naturally arises out of me, because I feel one way and I don't know. It's not, I don't really like love. It's not like I'm bummed in a bad mood all the time or something, but I don't like love writing a happy song.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I feel like if I'm happy, I just like am going out living my life, you know?
Yeah.
I never feel the need to write like a happy song. So the songs always come out like really personal and vulnerable and raw
And
but like I don't want a like sad bummer of a song. I want something I can like bob my head to while I'm driving and like sing along to, and so it kind of comes out that way. But
yeah, but in reality, it's really the deeper track, and not just like, you know, go into it, yeah, I'm gonna make this upbeat song. It's just the coincidental, not even coincidental, you just generally tend to create those melodies and the you know, the upbeat tempos contrasting with the lyrics. Kind of reminds me of, well, I think I was first introduced to your jingles through watching 10-year-old Tom on HBO. I think it's still up there on the archives, but that they used, oh my God, I'm sorry if I know Anti-Earth.
It's called Anti-Earth, yeah.
Yeah. They used the, if you're not familiar to our listeners, HBO had this adult animation, 10-year-old Tom, which is fabulous. And again, with the, we talk about melancholy, that was definitely the show as well. But how did that come to be that they used your jingle? I know I've definitely, we probably touched base on this before, but in the present day, how did that come to be? And then also, are you doing any more little jingles for shows?
That came to be just really random. I know the creator of that show's name is Steve Dildarian. And he had a show before called The Life and Times of Tim. And when he went to do 10-year-old Tom, his producer was this guy named Nick, who I don't know, but I guess Nick was just happened to be a fan of Walter Mitty music, or Walter Mitty and Walter Etc. songs. And he like showed Steve the song Anti-Earth, and then Steve was just like really liked the vibe and really liked the lyrics and felt it related to his character in the show, and just hit me up. And so for me, it was just really random. I'm just living my life as this kind of like quote unquote starving artist. And then I get this email that this dude wants to use my song for an HBO show. And we are like not a big band, so this is not something that's on my radar of ever happening at all. And it was really just like a lightning bolt for me, where it was like, yeah, that's so cool. And it could have been any show, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
so happy it was this like really funny, heartwarming, like adult cartoon. It was just awesome. I love the show. And I've since met Steve and hung out with him a couple times, and he's an awesome dude. And I'm just like so honored to be in his orbit and be part of the show.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I just had to mention that I think that's where I was first introduced to your stuff, or just the jingle, and it was a fascinating show. And then same with the other show too. And I was just curious if anything else has been picked up on that note of like shows or commercial side of things like that. Or
yeah, not like an actual jingle like how I wrote for you.
Yeah,
I don't think I've done one of those in a while, but some of our songs keep getting picked up by friends' indie movies, like
oh, cool.
we often not as prominent as the HBO. That was like the theme song for the show, which was so cool. But we've had other stuff. A lot of friends, like I'm just like friends with a lot of people who are making their own indie films, and they'll use a song here and there in their films, which is really cool. But one cool one recently was my friend Elisa made a movie called I Love You Forever. And she used a couple Walter tracks, kind of more in the background, but their show, it was her and her friend Cassie David, and their movie just got picked up and is on HBO now too.
Wow.
So the HBO Walter connection is, is going strong.
Yeah. Yeah. So what the follow-up question to that is, when is your show coming out?
I don't know. One day. I would love to branch out and do something like that, but
yeah, yeah.
I only have the bandwidth for so much.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
Unintended.
Of course. Throughout your experiences, your culminated experiences, and like I assume eclectic group of friends, like how has everything influenced you in just your creative process and sound, and you know, my ethos and life, I guess, too, is just having these diverse experiences, diverse group of friends in different realms always influence me better than staying with the same folks in the same bubble. So I'm just curious if any diverse experiences that really influenced you recently in the creative process.
Huh. Well, my short-term memory is pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah.
but on that same theme, there was a moment when I was a kid. We used to ride our bikes, me and like literally the other band members of Walter, when we were really little, like 12, 10. We'd ride our bikes to Tower Records to get CDs, and then across the street was a Del Taco. And across the street from that Del Taco on the other corner was a Taco Bell. So we'd always go to the Del Taco after Tower Records, which is like, for people not in California, it's like another fast food like Taco Bell. And there was this unhoused man who lived outside the Del Taco. And we'd always just kind of say hi to him, but we didn't know him. But then one day we decided to change it up after Tower Records and ride our bikes across the street to Taco Bell. And we cross the street to Taco Bell, and that same unhoused man was sitting there next to his bike and all his bags and his big beard, and he's like, "Boys, you're at Taco Bell today and not Del Taco." And we're like, "Yeah, we decided to change it up." And he said, "Change is good, boys. Change is good." And I've always tried to heed that man's advice and keep changing it up in my life. So I always felt like a a diversity of friends and experiences keeps me feeling vital and keeps me inspired and keeps me, feel like I'm living my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that way I have tried to, collect a bunch of different friends from all over the world and experiences traveling and playing and trying out different things musically and writing and making films and things like that. Just keep like a fresh breeze going through so things don't get too stagnant or too stagnant and kind of rotting away.
Yeah. Yeah. pardon me. That's great though. No, yeah. If you stay in one spot too long, you could become complacent and fall back on, I don't know. I'm also, go ahead.
It doesn't have to be like you have to like physically move cities or something, but like spiritually stay in one place too long or, figuratively speaking.
Oh, that's true as well. I sometimes speaking in the larger picture where I'm like, yeah, you don't have to, and this is what I have to tell myself too, because I'm always wanting to go, do big, movements and, travel and all that. But it's like, if time's not permitting or, resources aren't permitting, you can change your mindset and try different things on an energetic level as well, and just switch things up, try things, do things differently, and patterns and stuff like that. So
totally.
It's a interesting process. And have you guys has the band performed live this year, or have you kind of switched that to more just TikTok and the digital realm? Have you did a small little tour? Have you performed live or?
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually like not on the digital realm really.
Oh, cool.
Well,
yeah,
I am, of course. Like we have the Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes I kind of like mess around and post on TikTok, but I don't really use TikTok that much.
Yeah.
I have been around this new album like the past couple days, but, it's actually funny. Like I got banned from my Facebook account. Because it got hacked and I just like, I tried to get it back and Meta didn't let me back in.
Yeah.
So our band doesn't have Facebook. And then, I got off Twitter X cause it was just kind of a ghost town and getting weird. And, I'm just like, haven't logged on in like a year. And it used to be all these social medias and ways to connect with people. And now it's like, I just have an Instagram pretty much. It's kind of funny. I'm like, oh, this is really shrunk.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did a little house show tour earlier where I just kind of lived out of my truck and played people's houses and backyards, like bands who volunteered to host something. And that was awesome. That was really just like direct one-to-one connecting with people, hanging out with them. They'd bring their friends. They'd have like their friends' food pop up or like their friends' art, on display.
Yeah.
And we created a vibe at their house. And so that was really cool. And then the band's about to go full tour next week with on tour supporting the Taxpayers, which are old buddies of ours.
Cool.
So, and I think we played some full band. We played like a festival, our friends festival in LA.
Cool.
At the beginning of the year. So we've been fairly active.
Yeah.
For a band who isn't all living in the same city, we've stayed pretty active.
And, with this, upcoming, stint, are you going to East Coast or are you doing just staying out the West Coast area, or like how's that
this
kind
one's,
of trip
this one's
like?
Just the West Coast. Cool.
Yeah.
And then I'm actually going to go to the UK with a band called Pigeon Pit
interesting.
Yeah. In September, but there's actually we usually do a pretty good job of getting out to the East Coast, but there's no East Coast plans for the rest of the year so far. We'll see if that changes.
We have to get you to the New York area.
I would love that. I want to come to Hudson.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's an interesting vibe. We have a bigger, big enough house to host a few people and get something together. I'm kind of known for my lo mein action too. Like I host people and cook lo mein for people. So
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's just going back to like connecting over food and diverse dialogue and just diverse ideas and artists of all mediums. And I'm a big proponent of just having that community over food and ideas. and discussion over food and drink and just having a good time with people, you know.
That's cool. I like that. I feel like that's more important than ever as our bigger institutions kind of crumble and seem to be just all scams and like failing us. It's like having your own little community and just doing your own thing and creating your own kind of culture and community is like, it's just so much better and so important.
Yeah, no, it's like, I'll go back to my tribal model.
Tribal model.
Yeah, the tribal model of like just creating these echo, like sub communities of just eclectic persons that get together to do good within the realm of whatever their small section of the world, you know, where you can't control the larger portion of the world, but you can control like your community wherever you reside, you know. So like if people get together over just a simple thing as food and music and or art, you know, it's that's one win for the human race, you know.
Totally.
You know, on that, I did want to play another track from Yikes Almighty. I have in line now Econoline.
Nice.
And I'm going to play that as I'd like to get one more track from the new album Out on Air.
And Bertie was the only one who didn't ask how it fell. So what, some crashing hot Jeff said never again. She laid with me on the cold kitchen tile. Couldn't care less if I remembered all the bad band names and towns, cause I still wear them around. Sometimes wearing it well. The Punisher with the iPad wants to analyze you so bad. Your face a topographic map of frown and smile lies. And almost 300,000 miles on the Econoline. Your friends are gone, your lovers checked out, your country's wrong. And what was once our common bond is now the backing track to a car commercial. And I don't know why the paranoia never fades, even if I was armed with all the answers. I couldn't stop the dance from wearing this. And Bertie was my divorce dog. I haven't seen since that September. So what, some old passenger van might never again.
Lovely. any tidbit about that track or
That's the first track off the new album, and it feel like it really is the perfect example of like trying to use children's toys to create kind of a Brian Wilson Pet Sounds-esque atmosphere in the bedroom.
What actually curious, what were you using?
Well, there's let's see, there's a couple like different like dinky keyboard piano toys doing the chords, the piano chords in that song. And then there's this like dog guitar, which is a pretty popular kids instrument that just makes some dog noises that you could hear in there. And another like toy, not like a guitar, but like a plastic guitar with buttons that makes different noises and also has like a whammy bar that goes like, wow. And so like somewhere between the dog guitar and the toy guitar, a lot of those noises were made. And sometimes altered digitally.
Hmm.
And then, yeah, like the kids' keyboards. Oh, and then there's like bells. Some like kids' like bells. I'd like figure out which key, what key the bell is in, and then like arrange them. That's all I can think of off the top of my head. Probably yeah. Some other random stuff.
Interesting, though. Why did you choose that? Or just what was the kind of thought process behind that, I guess, utilizing those children's toys? Or did you speak to that before? I can't remember, so
I don't really know where it came from, but yeah. It kind of goes back to the unhoused man outside of Taco Bell telling me that change is good. I wanted to do, this is the first Walter Mitty and his makeshift orchestra record in like over 10 years.
Oh wow.
I wanted to there's like kind of a core Walter Mitty sounds, acoustic with no drums, no electric guitar, just all percussion and acoustic kind of folk instruments. And I wanted to, we evolved that sound on our first few records, but I wanted to evolve it like one step further. And I don't know where the toy instrument thing actually originated from, but somewhere at the beginning of writing and producing, I was like, oh, it'd be so cool to try to like, you know, make a little orchestra, a symphony out of like really dinky battery packed instruments. And so I would just raid thrift stores and here or in Denver, where we recorded the album at a friend's house, Chris, our drummer's house. I would just raid thrift stores and find stuff and see what I could do with them. Just trying to change it up and push myself to create something new for myself.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. It just adds a different texture to the song, you know, and the track and I assume the whole album, which I will certainly listen to it more in depth after I get off air. But so we're wrapping up almost to the hour, but where can people find and discover your new album and your work? Since I guess you're just on Instagram now, or barely, but where can people discover the new album?
You can go to, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, Tidal, all of the streaming services. And if you want what you've been hearing, the more kind of bedroom folk stuff, that's called Walter Mitty and his makeshift orchestra. And then if you want to hear the genre-defying, more studio-produced stuff, you can look up Walter Etc. Both are kind of the same group of people. Definitely both my songs and me singing, and the same drummer, Chris. But yeah, go dip your toes on Spotify. There's a, you know how Spotify makes This Is playlists for artists. We made our own, that's called No, This Is Walter. And it's got both, the makeshift orchestra and Walter, Etc. songs, like 50 of them that we think are cool and showcase us. So you could go start with that playlist if you want.
Cool. Well, thank you for that. And definitely, to the listeners that here in the Catskill, Accra, and Hudson areas, go check that out. Dustin, I always think your actual name is Walt or Walter.
That means I've done great with my branding and marketing.
Yeah, yeah. It's ingrained in my subconscious. And you did a good job of, you know, just diving into my subconscious mind. Good marketing and branding. But, go check out the digital world and sonically. And any pieces of advice? I always like to ask this too when we have a bit of time at the end of like being a career musician and just creative in general, any advice to younger generations of like why do it or why pursue a creative path when it's so difficult, even particularly these days where it's so difficult to make a living from it, but why pursue a creative endeavor in the first place?
Well, I think you should really pursue it only if you truly enjoy the process, because you'll kind of learn along the way that it really sucks, and it really leads to a hard life if you are like really trying to be famous or rich or successful. Not that you can't do it, but it's like that payoff isn't really great, and the road to get there is hard, and it kind of sucks, and you have to sacrifice a lot. So if your end game is just the product being super successful, then maybe second guess it and go find something else where you could find success more easily and the payoff will feel greater. But if you really want to be an artist and do your thing, just really enjoy the process along the way, because in the end, that's really all it is the, what you're doing day to day, not where you're getting to. So if you enjoy the work, if you enjoy the writing and the editing and the recording or the drafting or the whatever it is you do, then you can't go wrong and you'll have a life well lived, because you'll enjoy every second along the way. But if you hate the work and you don't like the process, then like that's all it ends up being. So just pivot now and do something else.
Well, follow up on that, and thank you for that piece of advice to any young creatives out there. Are you still happy doing what you do? I assume you must be, as you just released new work, but do you still find fulfillment in the creation, the act of creating and creating music?
Definitely, yeah. The act of putting out an album was embarrassing and shameful, and I did not enjoy telling people to go listen to my song and telling people to watch this video and stuff.
Yeah.
But then observing myself, I've already been working on the next album, and that has always been exciting, and that's been occupying my brain. So it appears that I still am enjoying the process, and I'm not loving the end product parts, but I do that too.
Now, when do you think the next album? I know you just released a new album, but it seems like you already have something in mind. When do you think that will appear in the ethos of the world?
Well, I'll put it out there now, but this definitely could change. But this is just where I'm what I'm thinking now. I think the next album will probably be a Walter Etc. album, going into the studio and doing something big. Cool. Not big as in popular or something, but big as in like a really, really swinging for the fences. Maybe like sometimes I'm like a double LP, like 20 tracks, or just at least like really like hopping genres or really experimenting. But I definitely want to, this Yikes Almighty, as cool as it was with the children's toys and stuff, it was really like a return to home for me in my songwriting. And it feels like what I do and trying to do what I do really well. But the next Walter Etc. record, I want to push our boundaries quite a bit and just see where we end up.
Awesome. That sounds amazing, Dustin. And I must host you when you're in the East, when you find your way to the East Coast, to maybe set up a little events in honor homage of your travels here. I love to host you. Definitely get you some of my famed lo mein, and I definitely would love to see you in person. It's been I do enjoy our conversation, so get some enjoy the morning out there in the West Coast, and we'll talk soon. Keep it.
Thank you. I can't wait to try your lo mein one day.
Yeah. And be well. It's by the way, how's the weather out there?
It's great. We got a typical overcast Southern California morning this morning, but it gets hot where I live. I'm inland LA, like up in the mountains almost.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So it gets hot, but I love it.
Yeah, I can't complain, man, and I can't complain about your path either. So thank you once again for spending an hour with me on air, and